This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Texans finalized their 2019 coaching staff yesterday. The biggest move, of course, the new offensive coordinator, Tim Kelly. The question we've been asking for a couple weeks now, will Tim Kelly call the plays? This is head coach Bill O'Brien with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris.
We've had different guys call the plays. I've called plays. You know, obviously we had George Gotsy call plays. And there's no doubt in my mind that Tim Kelly is ready to call plays. And that's something that will always be, like I said, a collaborative effort. Now, on the outside, people may say, well, what does that mean? Well, there's a lot that goes into a play call. You know, obviously you don't have a lot of time to make a play call, but there's a lot that goes into it, and you need input from everybody quickly. Whether it's me calling the plays or Timmy calling the plays, it'll always be what's best for the team, and it'll always be, like I say, a collaborative effort of game planning during the week, and then, okay, let's see how this game's being played, and let's move from there.
What would you specifically like to see from a play caller? This is what I would like to see different from the Texans offense, or a little bit more. I would like to see a 1-2 punch at running back. I want a true running back that can make a play. Alfred Blue, God bless you for maximizing what your mama gave you, but you got to move past that. So I want to see another running back that can come in and make plays outside of Lamar Miller. I want to see the tight ends utilized more, and I want to see more intermediate options for Deshaun Watson to where he's not always looking for the deep ball and holding on to the ball too long.
What you're talking about with running backs is true, but to me that's more of a personnel thing. That's not play calling. Now, once you get your personnel.
For sure.
Yeah, once you get your personnel, you know, you want to be able to use. You know, I'm a big fan of the wheel route. I think it's next to impossible to cover consistently.
You know, but you can't run that with Alfred Blue.
Exactly. And so can you with...
Can with Tyler Irvin either.
What's going to say? Can you do it with any of the running backs they have right here? Maybe no. Lamar Miller?
Maybe.
Maybe. But that's a personnel thing. You know, he's specifically talking, and you mentioned, you know, play calling. Look, it all comes down to what Deshaun Watson is comfortable at. You know, I don't really feel like when he was at his best in 2017, he was improvising. And I think Bill O'Brien and I don't have any sources over there telling me this. I think Bill O'Brien in the offseason focused on maybe controlling that a little more. He still had a very good season. That's what people tend to forget. Statistically, I'm not talking about just going winning 9 straight games. Still had a very statistically good season this year, but he wasn't quite that player in open space. And that's what I'm going with this. I want to see Deshaun Watson in open space more. Maybe not freelancing as much, but by design. And I think a lot of fans, that's kind of what they're thinking as well when they say or they complain about this offense or the play calling or whatever. Utilize Deshaun Watson as a passer, you know, but utilize him in space where he can maybe be more versatile and more of a threat for the safeties having to come up, for the cornerbacks having to really double check on is he going to run or not. I don't think we saw that enough. It has to do with Deshaun Watson just getting him in space.
And I would like to see the tight ends utilized more. And I've seen a lot of people, and I think they're missing the point when it comes to utilizing the tight ends. I don't think the tight ends that Tim Kelly worked with last year were incapable of being utilized. I just don't think that Bill O'Brien utilized them as much as he should have and could have. Mm-hmm. And I think having the tight end coach that worked with those guys that has a close idea of what exactly those guys bring to the table, I think he can help with that. I mean, Jordan Thomas had 20 catches last year, 4 touchdowns. Akins only had 17. I think 37 combined catches between those two guys is a travesty. And I think when we see them next year, I want to see those guys utilize more because I think it helps Deshaun Watson, A, get rid of the ball faster because the guys are running shorter routes.
Right.
And B, I think it opens up stuff for guys like DeAndre Hopkins and guys like Will Fuller going down the field, to where Deshaun's not just sitting there and keying on those guys and waiting to throw it. I want to see those guys. You talk about personnel. This is personnel that you already have. I want to see the two Jordans in year two. I want to see their workload increase.
Again, totally agree, but more specifically in terms of play calling for me with the tight ends. Every great team in recent years goes and utilizes the tight end in the red zone a lot. How much did they really use the tight end in the red zone?
4 touchdowns.
4. That's it. 16 games, 17 games, 4 touchdowns. And the tight end in the red zone should be like a go-to. Like, I don't, I'm not saying he has to be Gronk, but every team that's successful in the red zone uses the tight end. They run and they chip it to toss it to DeAndre Hopkins or somebody, which there's nothing wrong with that. But I mean, the tight end should be an absolute go-to in the red zone.
And I think these guys are going to take the next step. I think of guys that we talk about taking that next step. We've talked about the defensive side of the ball, Justin Reed. I think that the other two rookies, the two Jordans, could also take that next step next year. Carlos Correa gets a raise for the Houston Astros. We're close to opening day. We're about a month away from it. He won his arbitration case against the Astros. He will make $5 million. He also tweeted out that it was a fun process, and the Astros were classy all along the way. So, Carlos Correa, we talk about how underpaid he is, given his talent and given what he brings to the table. He's going to get $5 million, which means he can buy a buttload of matching shirts with him and his fiance.
Yeah, he can. Listen, they're going to be in Florida a week from today, the Astros. How about that? They'll be getting going over there. Carlos Correa, this was to me a no-brainer arbitration. As much as he wasn't living up to what we thought he would be, he was still
far outplaying. I mean, him making under $1 million is embarrassing.
Yeah, far outplaying his contract. This was a no-brainer. Why they even... you know, spend any time on it. They should have just give him the money.
Yeah, Just give him the five mil. That's kind of what I was thinking. that's what I was thinking. I think this Michael Brantley move that Jeff Luhnow made in the offseason is going to be one of the best under the radar moves made in all of baseball. 3-time All-Star from the Indians. The one biggest, the most inconsistent part of this lineup last year was who's going to play left field. They tried to move Kyle Tucker there.
Yep.
They even had Mariznick there a little bit. They just seemed like there was always someone they had. They tried to have Jeff Fisher there. Michael Brantley gives you a solid, established left fielder, and I think it's going to be one of the best under-the-radar moves that is made all this year, not just by the Astros, but by any team.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a good acquisition. I'm excited to see how they play out the pitching staff, of course, but we got time on that.
A lot of question marks there.
Yeah.
A lot of question marks there, but there's a lot of time for it to play out. Rockets in action tonight. Trade deadline looming. 9 o'clock tip in Sacramento. Trade deadline, of course, tomorrow at 2 p.m. Daryl Morey was playing ping pong at a celebrity ping pong tournament. Don't know how many people showed up to that. Watching people play ping pong doesn't sound too appealing to me, but Daryl Morey loves to play some ping pong. Mark Berman, of course, caught up to him and asked him, how aggressive will you be at the trade deadline?
Yeah, I mean, we're chasing Golden State, so we've got to be aggressive, and we're going to continue to be aggressive. So.
Do you feel like you're in a position to make something happen in the next couple of days?
Yeah, I mean, at the phase we're in, our franchise normally don't have all your draft picks, and we do. So if there's something that could help us now that'll improve our team now, we're going to be looking at that. We won't do it, frivolously, but if it's something that really improves the team, we'll look at it hard.
It'll be interesting. His in-season acquisitions have been unbelievable. As bad as the Carmelo thing was, and I'm not a big fan of Ennis. I'm not a huge fan of what he brings to the table, although he's been playing a little bit better lately. Austin Rivers, Kenneth Faried add depth to this team, and right. I like his in-season acquisitions.
They're going to trade Brandon Knight and their first-round draft pick, at least, and it's going to be just a matter of for who. From what I was reading this morning, Daryl Morey is like basically telling everybody in the league, "You can have Brandon Knight, you can have our number one. What do you got? They want a wing." I saw Burks from Cleveland?
Alec Burks
from Cleveland. They were talking about. They've been linked with Bazemore, I believe.
With him for a long time.
And Wesley Matthews was mentioned.
It'd be a good fit.
All three of those, I think, would be pretty good fits. He needs a wing. He wants to get rid of Brandon Knight's contract, and he's got the draft picks, as you just heard right there. Deadline's tomorrow. Rockets will make a trade. They're going to make a trade for someone.
Okay. Market Figgy.
Market Figgy.
The OG says that the Rockets will make a trade. Mm-hmm. James Harden had a response to Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant basically said, without Clint Capella and Chris Paul, the Rockets can't win a championship. But once Chris Paul comes back, that'll ease the load off Harden, and they'll have a chance to win a championship. Sounds like a pretty solid piece of analysis from Kobe Bryant. However, the headline porn basically said that you can't win with James Harden's style. People started having takes without actually hearing the quote. James Harden was asked about it, And this is what the Beard had to say in response to Kobe Bryant.
I mean, I have to be ball dominant just because we have injuries. You know, we've had injuries throughout the course of the year. So, but when we get Chris, you know, in the rhythm and Eric back and get our full roster, we got multiple guys that can make plays, multiple guys that can dominate the ball. So, I mean, for right now, he's probably right. You know, this way that we're playing won't happen in the play. Won't get us where we want to go. But we haven't had a full roster yet. So, I'm excited for that to come.
Thank you. That's what we were saying. I'm glad. It's nice that he didn't put this imaginary chip on his shoulder, you know, and build that into something it wasn't. Kobe Bryant was very candid about what was going on.
He went very in-depth.
In-depth and candid. And James Harden said, yeah, pretty much.
You know what the difference is, though, between James Harden and Kobe Bryant? And this is what kind of annoys me. History's been rewritten significantly when it comes to Kobe Bryant and just his will to win. Because I know that Kobe Bryant...
He was a killer,
most.
Though.
Okay, he was a killer, John. I agree with that. But there were times in Kobe Bryant's career, even mid to late in his career, where it came across and his actions showed that he would rather be doing what James Harden's doing right now without Chris Paul than actually winning.
Oh, yeah, and that's
James Harden, I don't think, is like that. I think James Harden would much rather have Chris Paul and Capella with him instead of scoring these 40-point games. It was questionable. It was questionable with Kobe Bryant.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I think they both have similar characteristics. They love to win. They want the ball.
When has James Harden demanded a trade like Kobe?
No. I'm saying not every characteristic, but I think they love to win. They both want the ball in their hands. You know, at the end of the game, they're both killers, you know, in terms of making big shots. But... they both also, if it's time to score 40 points, you
they
know,
can.
They will.
They
you
can,
know, they
but rather, I think Kobe, I, mean, I think there were times when Kobe would rather do that. I mean, he ran Shaq out of town.
What was the game where they were getting killed and he came back so we could get his 30 late in the fourth quarter? I mean, that's I'm not passing judgment on that. He wanted to get his 30 in a row. You know, another game with 30 points. Harden did. So, yeah, I don't hold anything about. Can I interest you in a stat?
Always.
James Harden now has as many 40-point games this season as Dirk Nowitzki has in his career.
Impressive.
Think about that. That's not some schmo. That's Dirk.
It's very impressive.
Yeah.
Very, very impressive. And it looks like Dirk's on his last life right now. Ben Chung arrested yesterday. Second time he's been arrested for alleged drunken driving in the last 3 years. Don't even really want to elaborate on this too much. It's disgusting. It's sickening. It sucks. Again, I would give you a pass for one time, but when you do it again and you have a high-paying six-figure job, probably goes out to seven figures when you take in all the extra appearance fees at the University of Texas. I just don't know how you screw that up. He's been nothing but an embarrassment to UT since he left there, and despite the fact that I still love everything Vince did for UT, I think it's just awful what's happened to him, and it's awful that he continues to make mistakes that just make – not only himself look bad, but the university that stood behind him for a long, long time.
You made the mistake. You know, you thought you were the guy, like a lot of young people, although he's not that young anymore, but like a lot of people, oh, it'll never happen to me. You know, I'll never get caught. I'll never get that. I haven't had that much to drink. I can drive. You get busted. You get popped. You get embarrassed. You would think that's the wake-up call, right? And you kind of alluded to that. You know, once you, I don't know if you get a pass, but it's maybe understood that, you know, that's got to be your revelation moment. The fact that it wasn't is where the worry is. The fact that it happened twice, not just in 5 or 10 years, but in 3 years, that's a worry, you know, for Vince Young. People around him need to, like, have a really serious talk with him.
And it's also a worry that, you know, what does the University of Texas do right now? He's basically an ambassador that gets paid a lot of money. At what point do you say, you know what, man, we've given you every chance, we've given you every opportunity, despite all this knuckleheadness, we need to distance ourselves with you. And that's bad for a football program when you distance yourself from somebody who was arguably the best player in school history.
Most people who get two DWIs in 3 years spend a pretty good chunk of time in jail.
He's facing up to 1 year in jail time. I doubt he will, though. Houston Sports Awards tonight. Are you ready to party, J-Lo?
I am ready to party.
Are you ready to party?
I've got my party shoes on.
Paul Gallant's got his tux. J-Lo's got his jeans and suit jacket. We're going to see what's popping. We're going to go through the main categories, and I want you to tell me who wins the award. Athlete of the Year. It's between Alex Bregman, James Harden, Nuke Hopkins, and Simone Biles.
I love this. This is the most competitive of all the categories to me. You can make a strong case for every one of those four. I'm going to say James Harden.
I'm with you. I don't like agreeing with you, but I'm with you. Simone Biles is obviously the GOAT. She's the best at her sport of any of them. But yeah. When she competes, she wears USA. When James Harden competes, it says Houston, and this is the Houston Sports Award. I know she's still from Houston, and she's still very proud to be from Houston, but I got to give it to James Harden, MVP of the league last year. We agree.
Yeah.
Coach of the Year, Mike D'Antoni, A.J. Hinch, Bill O'Brien, or Houston basketball coach Kelvin Sampson.
I heard the morning guys talking about this, and they all picked Kelvin Sampson.
I don't know what that was about.
I think I know what it was about. They're thinking it's this year's award. It's not. It's 2018.
Well, they made the tournament. They made the tournament.
I understand
they
that.
Pushed Michigan, remember?
I understand. They got pretty dang close to Michigan, beating
after
them.
Before the meltdown.
But, I mean, they weren't, like, top 10 in the country going into the tournament like they will be
nice
this
run.
Year. They made a good run. So I'm going to go with Mike D'Antoni just because he had that team. Clicking. Everybody was complaining or worried about how Chris Paul and James Harden would fit together, and he made it work. So I'm going to say Mike D'Antoni.
That's exactly what I said to the Mad Radio guys. I think Mike D'Antoni doesn't get enough credit. I think he coached at a championship level. Unfortunately, he just had a little bit of bad luck and was unable to get it. Mike D'Antoni is my coach of the year. Event of the year, the opening of the Fertitta Center. Texans beat the Titans on Monday Night Football after the death of Bob McNair. Western Conference Finals between the Rockets and Warriors, or the Houston Rodeo. I don't even know why the Houston Rodeo is on there. It's a great event every year.
Oh, no.
What separates it this year from years past? Garth Brooks?
Well, not only that, but the event is twice as long as the Texans' home game, home schedule. Think about that. It's 16 home dates in a football season. It's, what, a month?
No, I'm not minimizing the rodeo. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, I don't know. If we're going to do that, the rodeo would win every year.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
I have no idea.
I don't even know why it's nominated.
All due respect, I have no idea why the opening of a Fertitta Center is there. It's nice. It's gorgeous. I've been there. It's a great place to watch a basketball game.
I'm glad you said it.
That's not an event of the year. Who did they play? At the opening of the Fertitta Center, what was the game? Houston against?
I don't know.
Exactly. That's my point. You know, hat tip, but you're not getting a trophy. You're not getting a plaque.
I'm scared it's going to win.
It's not going to win.
I'm very scared it's going to win.
If it's going to win, the fix is in. I'll call it tomorrow on the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to start the show with that.
Yep. If the fix
you
was in.
You can call Patty Smith.
If I'll get Patty
if they
on
win
the
tomorrow,
phone.
Patty's getting on the phone and answering
exactly.
for it.
It's the Western Conference Finals.
Has to be. You know why? And as great as that night was, Monday Night Football, Texans, Titans, there wasn't as much magnitude. Not only was the Western Conference Finals an intriguing series that went seven games, and you wish Chris Paul would have been there for it, we were hyping that crap up for months. We were hyping that up as soon as they traded for Chris Paul.
Right.
Is that beating the Warriors? You remember the Bill Simmons? Is that beating the Warriors? And it happened.
Right.
It was entertaining. The result what didn't go according to plan, but it was still that's still easily the biggest event. If the opening of the Fertitta Center wins that,
that's a fix.
I'm doing the show barefoot tomorrow.
They must be. They're going to hate me.
Figgy
so much.
Has to do the show shirtless tomorrow if the Fertitta Center wins.
Oh my goodness!
All right, final one. College Athlete of the Year: De'Aaron King, quarterback at Houston; Rob Gray, the point guard at U of H; Ed Oliver, the defensive tackle at Houston; or Travion Williams of Texas A&M. I already know where you're going here.
I'm going to go with Rob Gray just because he put that team on his shoulders and carried them, like you said, to a big win and then maybe
Sweet 16.
The brink of the
Elite Eight
with a win over Michigan. De'Aaron King, maybe. Ed Oliver, you skipped some games, so no. And Travion Williams, fantastic. I mean, all SEC back, and that's incredible. But I don't think he necessarily did as much to carry his team as Rob Gray did.
The Eric King got hurt, so I can't give it to him.
And Gray missed games. And Oliver missed games, too.
Ed Oliver, I think it was basically a business year for him.
Yeah.
He was looking forward to the NFL from the beginning.
Travion would be in the mix.
I'm giving it to Travion because he rushed for 1,760 yards in the SEC. Jimbo Fisher's first year. Good year for your Texas A&M Aggies. So I'm going to go ahead and give it to De'Eric King.
It's one of those two guys that's going to win it.
Coming up next, getting to know the most interesting man in Houston. He's going to be spending a lot of time with Deshaun Watson. Five facts you need to know about the man known as Tater next on In the Loop.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.